Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Now, brethren, the lesson tonight will be somewhat different from what I normally try to bring to you. It will be an effort to present and uphold truth that we are confident can be sustained by Thus Saith the Lord. But it is also a genuine and sincere effort to defend the gospel against vicious and ungodly attacks, and attacks being leveled against some of those loyal, faithful, godly Christian people walking on the face of the earth today. For the last some 8 years, there has been conducted in Robertson County an annual Labor Day weekend lectureship. I have counted it my privilege to be invited to participate in that lectureship a number of times, and it is in process right now, even as I speak, even as we assemble. The lectureship is continuing, and it will continue through tomorrow, beginning at 8 o'clock. Lord willing, I hope to be right there. Spend the day with continuation of the things that are brought. I want to show you and tell you of the kind of things that are being taught this year. There was a lesson by Brother David Brown on the problems of Calvinism, the ideas of total depravity and how false that is. But primarily he dwelt upon the relationship of the law of Christ and the grace of God. And he showed not an inconsistency between the two, but a compatibility between the two. Of course, they had a great and marvelous lesson on Friday night, but I'll not tell you what that was or who spoke it. You might be able to have an idea already. And then we had a lesson by a brother who spoke to us about the problem of mechanical instruments in Christian worship. And brethren, he emphasized how that's really, it's a problem, but that's not really the basic problem. The mechanical instrument of music is the beast upon which the real problem is riding into our brotherhood, and that is, what will be our respect or disrespect for the authority of the Scriptures? And it was a marvelous lesson that was given. Brother Goble Music, whose name has been used here quite frequently, particularly since he has authored this book, of which you are familiar, Behold the Pattern, copies of which are still available out there in the vestibule. He spoke to us about one of the perversions of Scripture, the false translations of Scripture that are being distributed by a lot of people in very devious sort of ways. You may well get letters from time to time from brethren who say, we know that you're interested in the work in Bulgaria, you're interested in Latvia, you're interested in these places, we want to send Bibles to them. What they don't tell you is what so-called translation are they sending? And they're sending Bibles that teach faith only. They're sending Bibles that teach grace only. And brethren who have, out of love for their heart, are making contributions to help send Bibles to Russia and other places throughout the world. And brethren, when we send those kind of things, we're sending error to those people, not the truth. He told us of that. We had a wonderful lesson by a man who's a gospel preacher who, many years ago, was a preacher in the Christian church. He taught himself by reading the Bible to come out of that denomination into the body of the Lord. And he emphasized that people who will think that the only difference between the church and the Christian church is the mechanical instrument of music don't understand the doctrine and philosophy of the Christian church. And so he explained a multitude of things unto us. Later on, Brother John Gary Williams, right down here of Laverne, Tennessee, spoke on something of which he is so familiar, and that's the problem of evolution. Brother Thomas Warren was to speak today. Brother Wayne Coates was to speak today. Other lessons. That's the nature and the kind of thing that is going on at this Robertson County lectureship. Now, tomorrow, there will be a number of speeches with the emphasis upon the digressive doctrines that are being taught by some elements of the church, particularly those things that are being taught by the Jubilee people and those who participate in it. And I'm looking forward to hearing more concerning that. Now, Brother Roy McCottle, who is the preacher at the Robinson County Church, was interviewed by a man named Ray Waddell, who's the religious editor of the Nashville Tennessean. That man doesn't have any use for the Church of Christ. And I know. And if you want to know how I know, I'll be glad to tell you, but I will not belabor you with that. But he has called and has been and interviewed Brother McConnell about this lectureship coming up. He entitled it, and this is a copy, of course, of the Corners out of Tennessee, in Churches, Lectures, Counter, Heretical Jubilee Teaching, and you can't see that far, but he's got heretical in quotation marks, as if, of course, heretical was not a proper word to use to describe it. And I just want to read some to you, most of these things. He says a group of Church of Christ ministers, that's not a Church of Christ minister, that if you're a gospel preacher, you're a gospel preacher. We're not a denomination. But he says it's fighting back against the liberal, and that's in quote, drift of the popular annual Jubilee Convention by holding a series of weekend lectures. And he points out the 8th annual Labor Day lectureship that was going to take place. Then he speaks of the Jubilee. Now this is supposed to be, keep in mind, an article to talk about the lectureship at Robinson County. Most of it consists of talking about the Jubilee and giving vent to criticisms by Jubilee critics, Jubilee people being critical of the Robinson County lectureship. Now that's a poor way to report on a thing. I come up here and I want to tell you what Bob Craig is trying to do, and all I do is invite all of Bob Craig's enemies to come up here and testify against him. That's some report on Bob Craig, isn't it? That's what you get, though, when you deal with these kind of people. Anyway, he said the Jubilee offered a range of seminars for lay people, see the denominational terminology, he doesn't know what the Bible teaches on anything, from learning Christian discipleship to putting romance back into marriage. Who's going to be against learning Christian discipleship? I'm not. You're not. Who's going to be against putting romance back into marriage? I don't think it ought to have to be put back. I don't think it ought to get out to begin with. Who's going to be against teaching like that? I'll tell you what that latter part is, brethren, and I'm going to be discreet. It's a bunch of people whose mind wanted to teach because all they think of is sex, 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 and they've got to get up in front of mixed audiences, and in their distorted ways, they've got to talk about it. And they're going to tell everybody how to have a happy bedroom. I don't think that's the work for the Lord's church to begin with. And it's a wonder that the world has survived without these sex experts coming up and telling people how to conduct their sexual activity. Nonetheless, we certainly are not against having romance in marriage. But that's not all that went on at the Jubilee, as we shall take note in a moment. The distortions of truth, the misrepresentations of brethren, the misrepresentation of the doctrine of Christ, the ridicule of the Lord's church, that is also what went on at the Jubilee. But you don't hear about that, you see. Now keep in mind, the Nashville Tennessean is a widely spread publication. And people read this kind of thing, and this is the impression they get of the Lord's people, the Church of Christ. Now he says, opponents of the Jubilee think that the Jubilee is trying to destroy the worship pattern traditionally upheld by Churches of Christ. Well, friend, that's exactly what we think, and it's exactly what we know and can document it. First of all, Brother Roy McConnell here is quoted as saying that the Jubilee organizers no longer believe the New Testament is the pattern. Well, Brother Roy McConnell is exactly 100% absolutely correct. How can we say that these Jubilee organizers no longer believe that the New Testament is the pattern? Because they openly declare that they no longer believe the New Testament is to be looked upon as a pattern. In spite of the teaching of the Bible in Romans 6 of the form of doctrine, which simply means a pattern of teaching, in spite of the fact that the Old Testament type of doing things according to the pattern is brought over into the New Testament, and we're supposed to follow God's pattern and neither to add to nor take from, they tell us this is just a love letter. This is not something to which we are bound. There is no pattern that we are to follow. And so when Brother McConnell says these Jubilee organizers no longer believe the New Testament is a pattern, he's not just talking off the top of his head. He's not just venting out some kind of bigoted prejudice against people. He is simply quoting their own words of their own contentions and what they themselves openly, blatantly admit concerning the New Testament. He goes on to say, quoting McConnell, "They teach worship should be entertaining." Friend, that's exactly what they teach. They're teaching that the worship has got to be fun, that it's got to be entertaining, that it's got to be enlivened, that it's got to be, and you've heard me use this word, I know you're disgusted to hear me use it again, but here I go again, that it's got to be a holy wow. Now that's their words. I didn't invent holy wow. If I'd have thought of holy wow, I'd have had a hard time defining to you what a holy wow is. But I know what they think is a holy wow. It's where they have something that they say is going to appeal to baby boomers, and I resent that because I've got four baby boomers and it doesn't appeal to them. But in order to appeal to baby boomers, they've got to have different kinds of things, and we're going to bring out what this article even brings out that they do. Brother McConnell says that sort of thing isn't scriptural. Brother McConnell, you're right on the money. He's absolutely right. That sort of thing is not scriptural. As I mentioned to you this morning, brethren, when we were discussing the adding of certain qualities to our character, one of them was godliness. That means reverence. To stand in awe of things holy and sacred. We don't come to an assembly like this to get high on religion. We don't come for some kind of entertainment or some kind of emotional outburst. We come in the full recognition that we are standing and worshiping in the presence of Almighty God, our Creator, Sustainer, and Judge, our Heavenly Father, our Savior. And we must have reverence for that sort of thing. And everything that God has decreed is holy and sacred, and reverence would be our attitude. Brother McConnell goes on and says this, outside Davidson County, they don't have that kind of support, this big support. And brethren, that's true. Now I'm going to show you. I don't know why for the life of me, with the multiplicity of churches that exist in Davidson County, where I grew up, why those preachers down there don't get up and start preaching the truth in refutation to the digression that is being promoted by these heretics. I've got an idea why they don't. Because the Apostle Paul gives us an insight as to why people speak things that are not according to sound doctrine and things that are contrary to the doctrine which has been taught. Paul said, Jim Boyd didn't say, Paul said they serve their own bellies. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. I'll accept Paul's designation of motive, won't you? I'll tell you, brethren. Doubtless it is difficult for a man who is receiving from the congregation 60, 70, 80, up to $100,000 plus dollars a year. He's not getting ready to rock anybody's boat. Now, if you want to have me never rocking any boat, you just raise my salary up to there, and you've never seen such a peaceful fellow in all your life. No, you won't either. You're going to catch hellfire and brimstone when you need it. I don't care how much you pay me or don't pay me. But, brethren, in Davidson County, there obviously must be a bunch of hirelings who are not going to violate what's going on in their congregations. And you've got a bunch of people who are serving as quote-unquote elders who absolutely want peace more than truth. They want the contribution more than upholding the doctrine, or they would demand the doctrine to be taught. And they don't demand it. With very few and rare exceptions, they do exist, but they are rare. And you'd have to take a fine tooth comb and a flashlight at night with a reflector to try to find them. But there's some of them there that will be otherwise, but most of them are as silent as a tomb when it comes to the refutation of the false doctrines that are being propagated right there in a place where once was a citadel of God's truth. And that's tragic. And it's tragic to me personally because that's not only used to be home. I know some of those people. I grew up with some of those people. I don't understand those people. And why they're willing to do that, that's going to be between them and God, but they're doing wrong. They're not going to cross anybody. They're tied up all together. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, and we'll all tickle one another's ears together. Now, brethren, you look up here in Davidson County. Warren County now. Let's get the right county. Warren County. There are some 45 to 50 congregations. One time I told a fellow that in a place where there's not very many congregations. I said, we got 45, 50 congregations there in Warren County. He said, what? I said, yeah, we've got some 15, 20, 25 members. Then we've got some small ones. But we do have a lot of congregations, and that is not unhealthy, brethren. Because if the congregation A over here decides to go off in a tangent, that doesn't mean B, C, and D necessarily have to. But we've got some 45 to 50 congregations in this county. I could name on one hand, and I would have to look for most of those. And I am being very charitable here, very generous in holding up five. I couldn't name five churches in this county that would allow these proponents of Jubilee to stand in their pulpit. And I'm proud of that. And I'm thankful for that. And when any congregation around here begins to allow them to do that, they're going to hear from it by faithful brethren also. Because it'd be wrong. We're not going to have that kind of thing to come in, not without a fight. I'm talking about a righteous spiritual fight. Now, one critic is quoted. The critic is a name that has become familiar and, yes, synonymous with apostasy in the brotherhood of late, Reuben Shelley. Reuben Shelley said the Robertson County lectureship represents a noisy, extreme right wing in the Church of Christ Fellowship that is slowly dying because it fears healthy change. Brethren, I'm going to read to you some names on this Robertson County lectureship. Global Music, John Gary Williams, Thomas Warren, Roy Deaver, Mac Deaver, Wayne Coates, Curtis Cates, Garland Elkins, Robert Taylor, and on and on. Anybody that calls those people extreme on anything don't know those men and don't know what they're talking about. That is vicious slander and ridicule. That's one of the weapons of liberals, by the way, brethren. Slander and ridicule. I'm happy tonight that we have among those visiting with us Brother Flavel Nichols, who's holding the meeting over here at Bonner, to which you're invited at 7:30 if the preacher here lets you out in time. And Brother Flavel Nichols is a faithful gospel preacher. But I don't refer to Flavel just here by himself or personally. I'd rather go back and refer to his father, of which many of you are familiar, Brother Gus Nichols. Brother Gus Nichols was well beloved by the brotherhood for how many years did he preach? 60? 57, that's close enough. Tonight, brethren, that man who preached all over this country the pure, beautiful, saving gospel of Christ is included by these people as being among the noisy, extreme right wing of the churches of Christ. The greatest, finest gospel preachers of this generation they throw into the bucket of being this noisy, extreme right wing of the Church of Christ. Now you follow with me. Follow with me. That which is presently being labeled as the noisy, extreme right wing in the Church of Christ are teaching the same things that the Bible says we are to teach and that we have been teaching down through the ages. Follow with me a little closer. This criticism by Reuben Shelley, this noisy, extreme right wing of the Church of Christ fellowship, is still teaching the same thing he taught just a few years back before he went off in his egotistical tangent. Was he a noisy, extreme right winger back then? Brethren, I have right here a paper that's just been recently prepared by Brother Ralph Henley of Chattanooga, Tennessee, that contrasts what Reuben Shelley is presently teaching with what Reuben Shelley used to teach. This is not the only publication in this. That book, Behold the Pattern, also does it. There have been many other papers and publications that have shown the inconsistency and the contradiction of that man. But yet those who are continuing to teach as we all taught when there was unity and growth in the brotherhood, we are now labeled by these apostate heretics as the extreme right wing. And he says they are slowly dying. I deny that. Do we look like we're dead? I don't even see this congregation gasping for breath, let alone dying. I don't know of the faithful churches in this county that are slowly dying. Now, Leo's not. Morrison's not. Bivy Branch is not. Just go down the line. Slowly dying. That's what he wishes were so. Now, there have been some churches that have died. And they have died with numerical increase. Because they died spiritually. They left the truth. Their candlestick has been removed, if the Word of God means anything at all. Oh, how they wish we would not just slowly die, but would hastily die. But we are not about to die. Because not only are we going to oppose error, we're going to preach the sound, saving doctrine of Christ and reach out and win souls to salvation. And churches that will do that will never die. And we don't intend to ever cease doing that. And so we won't die. Oh, how he would like for us to die. He says, "Now get on your piety suit." I love those people, he says, of the Robinson County people. Oh, he does, doesn't he? This extreme right-wingers, I love those people. They're slowly dying. I love those people. He says they think they're going to work their way to heaven in other places. I love those people. We don't believe the New Testament is a pattern. They do. But I love those people. I'm going to stay in the Church of Christ, he said, myself, but my children won't. Oh, I love those people. I'll tell you, brethren, I have read things that are two-faced and double-minded and hypocritical in my life, but I haven't read anything that's any worse than that. How can you say I love those people when you've got a ball bat beating their brains out of their head all you can? Now, I promised my wife I'm going to try to be calm tonight, but this arouses me. I love those people. These people don't know what love is. They think love is the same thing as indulgence. The New Testament teaches love is seeking the other's highest good. The New Testament says how we love God and show our love for God is obedience to the commands of God, 1 John 3:2. And we love one another when we teach one another the truth. He says, "I'm convinced they're unwilling to perceive that it's a different world from the 1950s. Whoopee, I know more than you do. I'll tell you, there's one mark of a liberal. You can mark it there. He knows everything, and until he knows it, it won't happen. Like that old saying my daddy used to say, he that tooteth not his own horn, the same shall not be tooted, and they've got a whole orchestra blowing their horns. Brethren, I know what year I'm living in. But what he doesn't know, he was just a boy in the 1950s when I was working for a living. I know what the 50s were too. And even though the society has changed, and not always for the better, I know something that does not change. You know exactly where I'm going here. The saving gospel of Christ is the same since the day of Pentecost. It will ring with the same clarity and beauty when the Lord comes again. That will not, does not, cannot change. We don't preach the truth of God according to what society is or thinks. You see, these people are in the business of converting God to accept man. That's not what the gospel is to do. It's to convert man to obey God. Did you see the different directions that we are going from those people here? Now, I want you to notice something, brethren. Listen to this. This is a quotation. This is not the reporter's paraphrase. No one in Jubilee is suggesting that we move away from Christ and Scripture. I read that and thought my eyes had absolutely deceived me. That's exactly what they are doing. This shows that's what they're doing. Behold, the pattern shows what they're doing. Book after book has come off of the printing press that shows that's what they're doing. Paper after paper, sermon after sermon, challenge after challenge. That's exactly what they're trying to do, is that we move away from Christ and His church. He says, that's not what we're trying to do. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. Brethren, I want to be as kind as I can. But I want you to get the impact of this. When a Jubilee person says no one in Jubilee is suggesting that we move away from Christ and the Scripture, that's a lie. That's all it is. Let's don't sugarcoat it. Let's don't pass it away. That's a mistake. He's got a misperception of things. No. All of that's true. But that's a lie. Because that is precisely what they are doing. He goes on further. Says over here a little bit later, Shelley said, no one of the Jubilee organizers has advocated moving away from a cappella model of worship music, or worship music. That's not so. That's not so. Speaker after speaker that has been at Jubilee, not only spoken at Jubilee, but spoken at other places as they make their rounds and go to their seminars and their dialogues and their summit meetings, that's exactly what they profess and openly admit, that they are willing to accept the mechanical instrument of music in worship, even though the Bible does not authorize it. This man himself has said that if the elders where he preaches decides to bring it in, he won't get up and oppose it. How dare a man come before the public and before sensible brethren and says, nobody here wants to move away from singing and a cappella music. And that's exactly what they're doing. Brother McConnell brought out that the Jubilee organizers allow soloists and quartets with jazzy contemporary arrangements. And he says it's a lax attitude toward the sort of worship that the Bible allows. Amen, Brother McConnell. That's exactly what they do. I heard Brother Gus Off yesterday. My, it seems a long time ago. It was just yesterday. Talking about when he observed the performance of the a cappella. Now, the a cappella is a singing group of young people who get together and they make mechanical instrument of music sound with their mouths. They beat drums, they blow trumpets, they have guitars, they have banjos, they oom-pa-pa, they really go on. And he told about their display, and they had people dancing in the aisles. Brother, is that what you're advocating? Is that what you're condoning? Why, you would never accept that for a minute because you love the Lord's teaching too much. But that's what Jubilee does. And then he says, nobody's advocating we move away. This man that is criticizing has said that there is more authority in Scripture for solos and quartets than for congregational singing. The truth of the matter is, there is no authority for solos and quartets, etc., and only authority for congregational singing. And my son, upon reading and hearing of Rubel's contention of that way, wrote him, I may have told you about it, he wrote him. And he said, would you please, very kind letter, I looked at it. He doesn't write like his daddy, he writes like his mother. He was nice about it. And he said, I want you to send me the scripture that confirms what you have said. And he wrote back, my beloved son, and said, your letter is not deserving of an answer. Well, whoopee for me. Who does he think he is? You know, I know we've had a lot of elections going on in this country through the years, but I missed one. I didn't get the one when Rubel was elected God. I missed that somewhere. Now, my dear people, they are running the Lord's church into the ground if they can to try to bring out something new and popular and acceptable. Let me tell you something else now. Here this report says the Church of Christ traditionally teach that the Bible does not allow women in such role in the church. And that's talking about teaching men and preaching. That's not just a tradition of the Church of Christ. That's the doctrine of Christ as was taught by Paul, that women are not to teach or usurp authority over a man. That's not some human tradition that we've just decided to adopt in order to be different and archaic. That's thus saith the Lord. And then he comes, I don't want you to listen to this now, brethren. It's astounding to me, and I hope it will astound you. He said, no woman at Jubilee led a class that included men. Brethren, they've got speaker after speaker after speaker, year after year after year, that uphold the idea of women preachers. And the very first salvo that was shot at the Jubilee some 3 or 4 years ago was because of women teaching classes over men. He says it never happened. The Madison elders said for a while it never happened, but they got their feet burned because the women that taught the classes that went to Madison said, oh yes, they were in there and we see no problem with it. And then they had to sort of retract. One elder made the brilliant comment, it never happened and we'll see to it that it doesn't happen again. Isn't that brilliant? Man, you've got to get up early to get a hold of stuff like that. Now, brethren, the Bible does not, I don't care what the feminist movement, what society says, the Bible does not allow that sort of thing, but the teachers of Jubilee have no objection to it and have practiced it, and here comes a man that says it's never taken place. Brethren, I use the word again. That's a lie. That's all I know what to call it. But that's what gets publicized. Why? Because Ray Wadlin and this fair fella Shelley, they're pretty good buddies. Now, brethren, we got a fight on our hands. There are other things. Time is going to escape me, and I'm going to have to stop. I wish I could go more. Tomorrow, the brethren at Robinson County have urged, invited, and tried to persuade the organizers of Jubilee to come and openly discuss this matter. None are coming. These people have been challenged over and over again, and they will not respond nor meet the issue. They just throw out stuff like this of ridicule of sound and faithful brethren. Listen to the excuse as to why Shelley can't come. Shelley said he's too busy trying to exalt Christ by organizing relief and food supplies to the coastal victims of Hurricane Andrew to take time to debate the issues of the Robertson County lectureship. Well, to their credit, they, like 14 million other people, I suppose, have been collecting supplies to send to the victims of the Hurricane Andrew. We would commend that in anybody. That's charitable. That's good. I saw him twice on TV talking about what all they were doing, and he was dressed up better than I am. Of course, I'm not too dressed up usually, but I'll tell you, I did enough box packing. Man, I'm not tooting my horn here. I'm just got to get right down to brass tacks. I did enough box packing and can looking and box opening and lifting up into the truck and this, that, and the other. You don't do that in a shirt and tie. If he lifted a can of chunky soup, I would doubt it. But he's too busy. Well, he was also too busy before Andrew ever hit. He's been too busy for years to dare stand up and defend what he's teaching. And it's not because the man's lacking in intellect. It's not because he doesn't have experience in public debating. It's not because he's not keen and sharp. It's not because he doesn't know how to do that. He doesn't have the truth, and he knows he doesn't have the truth. And there have been brethren that used to march with the Lord, side by side with him, who are challenging him, but he won't have anything to do with them. He's scared of them as I am a rattlesnake or most any other kind of snake. Said, I'm too busy. No, he's not too busy. None of these liberals are too busy. They may be busy, but they're no busier than other people. They're too cowardly. They're too false. They're too devious. They're too deceitful. And if you happen to think that I don't support them, you've gotten the right idea. But I'll tell you something, brethren, as we close the lesson tonight. These sort of things go out and they hurt the Lord's body, of which you remember. They hurt the Lord's church everywhere it goes. It defames these noble and godly men. Brother Flavel Nichols knows about these men, known them all of his life. He's known them for 75 years or more. Not quite that long, Flavel. He knows they're not that way. He knows they're standing for the truth. Brethren, these people need to remember, be sure your sins will find you out. And if it's not even in this life, they'll be found out. I'll tell you, if I was a liberal and if I could be quoted in saying such things as I read here in this newspaper, there's a verse in the Bible that would shake me right to the soles of my feet. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That ought to put shivers down his spine if he believed it was the word of God to begin with. Because he says we don't have really the inspired word. All we've got is a translation of it. Dear friend, translators are not inspired, but when it is properly translated, it is the word of God as much as the original autograph. These people believe that the Bible has come from, well, the epistles, they're just a love letter, and nothing, we have to follow that anyway. And all we've got is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we've just got fragments of that, and they just wrote from certain formerly written documents, which nobody has ever been able to produce, and Matthew just wrote from memory. We really don't have much right here, folks. Throw it out. And that's exactly where they're going. Those that have parroted this kind of message of these liberals, that's exactly where they are now. If you don't believe it, look at the disciples of Christ. They don't even believe in the virgin birth of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the deity of Jesus Christ. They accept anybody or anything. The plan of salvation is out. That's where this leads us. And brethren, I can't affect and influence the whole brotherhood. I know I've got limitations. And I may not be able to influence and affect you, but I've got a duty to this church. God being my helper, nobody in this church is going to be subverted by these servants of the devil with this preacher holding his tongue. He may not say everything ought to be said, and he may not say it in the way and the manner that everybody would approve. I try. But you are not going to be subverted with lies against the body of Christ, God being my helper. But let's close on this note. It's our task, our privilege, our duty, our opportunity to stand in the gap, to reach out for the lost, to defend the faith, and as we do so, to know with confidence we shall be victorious in Christ. We cannot and will not fail if we be faithful. And that comes down to an individual response, doesn't it? Whether I will or whether you will. But these people will not subvert the truth, even if they subvert us. And that truth is going to be the measure of judgment when the Lord comes again, if all of us bury the truth and follow after them. But we're not getting ready to do that. And we're not getting ready to slowly die or swiftly die or any other kind of die. And even if we do die, that doesn't change God's truth. So I encourage us one and all to adhere firmly, strongly, steadfastly, patiently, lovingly, kindly, unwaveringly, without compromise to the truth. Thus saith the Lord, book, chapter, verse, we shall see God in glory if we do that. And if we don't, we won't. You may not have seen this article. If you don't believe what I've said, go look it up and find it and read it and weep. If you haven't read it, I wouldn't waste my time looking it up. It's not worth it. If you've got a bird cage, it might be worthwhile there, but that's about all. Brethren, I brought you these things, realizing that it's different. It's not easy to point these things out. I don't have any personal hatred in my heart toward that man, but I utterly despise his heresy and his slander of the body of Christ. And I know you do too. And may we ever be that way. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, that's God's way for one to be saved. If you need to be restored, repentance, confession, and prayer. Joy is going to lead us now in our song of invitation. I appreciate your attention so much tonight. But we would all appreciate and be more thankful if there is anyone that needs to be made right with God, that you would respond.